This is GKW. Welcome to another edition of Good Karma Wrestling. I'm Gabe Neitzel from ESPN Milwaukee, along with Brian Rowitz from ESPN West Palm, from ESPN 1000 in Chicago, also a part of the team on SiriusXM Pro Wrestling Nation. Catch him every Sunday from 9 to noon Eastern time. He is Jonathan Hood. All right, boys, huge weekend of wrestling ahead of us. We have Afternoon of Champions coming up on Saturday. We have Forbidden Door coming up on Sunday. And not only is Afternoon of Champions happening, they've got six matches on the cards, boys. Six matches on a WWE premium live event card.
Those fans are going to be exhausted. They're not going to know what to do with themselves.
So what are we looking forward to most in the weekend? It is a simple question, and it's open for interpretation. What are you looking forward to most this weekend?
You know, it is Cody Rhodes, Sami Zayn, and Gunther. And there's a lot of other things that we can look at, but I think that that is the most important match for me over this WrestleGasm weekend that we have. And the reason why is because Forbidden Door, Gabe and Brian, is just not Forbidden Door anymore. I thought that the Wednesday Night Dynamite was lackluster and kind of scattershot, where it's like, I'm used to my AEW storylines, the through line of whatever that is, and it's just kind of all over the place. Like, good matches, sure, it's always good matches, but just like the direction was just weird. So Brian, I would just say that I'm just curious on how Cody can sliver out of this, or will we get a new champion? I think that's the most intriguing thing for me this weekend.
Yeah, I think all that's fair. I think the Forbidden Door concept essentially needs to be killed at this point, because I feel like we've done this where AEW is on a climb and then Forbidden Door comes and it's like, oh, well, let's put it on pause and hopefully everyone still remembers. To me, not as intrigued by the triple threat match, mainly because I'm putting up my emotional protection, not going to believe that Sami Zayn is the champion. I think he is the lowest odds of those three. So to me, though, as much as Forbidden Door as a concept sucks, Will Ospreay versus Swerve Strickland will not suck. And I think those two should main event, and I think it'll be an awesome match. And we know Ospreay will probably win to get to Wembley. But those two going out there for 30 minutes makes my heart happy.
There's a guy that has never played the lottery. See that, Gabe? you talk about the lowest odds for Sami Zayn. Yes. You ever get the scratch off? I know you're in West Palm, so maybe you haven't done this. But, you know the poor, like Gabe and I, have these scratch off tickets looking for the three cherries to be able to win. You know, we're the guys that go to Pato or to the local casino just to try to make a little extra. So, I mean, the odds could be good for Sami Zayn. You just never know. If you don't, hey, you can't win if you don't play.
So next time you come to Wisconsin, we'll head to a dive bar. We'll grab some pull tabs. Yeah. We'll have ourselves a good time.
I've done some pull tabs. You win a few dollars here and there. But BetUS, Cody Rhodes is the favorite at minus 500. Sami and Gunther both listed at plus 300. Mm-hmm. I think that's being nice to Sami. Mm-hmm.
I mean, the only title change that makes sense is Sami. Like, it's the only thing that makes sense. And then you get Sami versus Jay at SummerSlam and give Cody a different direction, because Cody versus Jay doesn't do anything for me either.
What about Oba and Gunther?
I mean, I just assume Jay's winning. I want to be excited for that match, but I assume Brock Lesnar's interfering and Oba's losing to set up Oba Brock part three. Which means we're not getting Oba world champion until WrestleMania next year. And I don't know how they're going to tread water for that long.
Yep.
Like that's going to be a long ass time to have to tread water.
Yeah. It's funny thing about Jey Uso. I was on Busted Open and did like a show after Raw. And I had this viral comment that I think that Jey Uso is even less than when he was world champion. Meaning that when I see Jey Uso, Gabe, I see someone with like a fear in his eyes. Like, because he's talking, he's going at Oba, but it's like that yappy guy at the bar, talks a lot of shit, but you just know that he does, like, he has a lot of bravado, but you know he can't do anything. This is not like him going after Gunther, where it's kind of like, yeah, you kind of believe the scrappy underdog can get it done. Now it's just a guy that's just loud in the bar, just talking loud, not doing anything, takes the glasses off, and he's got scared eyes. So I just feel like if Oba doesn't win, and it's Jey Uso, then we're getting even less than with Jey Uso, a scared Jey versus that plucky underdog.
But he's got a new catchphrase also. He does more than just eat. And I will say, I enjoyed his Friday match, him and Javon Evans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a good match. I mean, again, he just needs to get rid of the spear.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That just, just either commit to it. Like, you got to go down onto the floor. Like, you may have doing a spear and somehow ending up on your feet. It just doesn't really work out.
Yeah, the spear has become bastardized, like the Three Amigos of Eddie Guerrero. It happens right now. It's just like a transition spot you get tired of.
You know, it's funny, Gabe, you mentioned the world title match being the only title change. Is it a possibility it's the only title change all weekend?
No. I mean, okay. So Nick Nemeth wins the championship. You're talking about the whole weekend?
The big two.
The big two. You were talking about it. Don't do that now. Don't just minimalize the show. Like,
all right, fine. Maybe Nemeth, but like WAW.
Nemeth is going to win.
Nemeth wins.
Okay.
Nemeth only because I just think it's just time for a fresh coat of paint. As much as I liked Santana's champion, it's not his fault. Just the booking was just kind of just blah. Like, here's a guy from New York, right? How's he not all over the Knicks parade or something somewhere around it, right? Nothing. And so I just think with Nick Nemeth, he's a heel. I think that that's just a fresh coat of paint for TNA. They kind of need a good shot in the arm lately, as you well know.
Wow, that might actually be the only title change. Not that I'm looking at this. That's
Trick versus Ricky, Stratton versus Jade. And then the AEW side, what else? We got Tekla versus Starlight Kid, Cage and Cope versus the Dogs, Mox versus Bandido, Umino versus
Pac.
Like,
I mean, really, maybe Pac could win. Maybe Pac could win.
Maybe. Can you
give him a New Japan title?
Yeah. I don't know.
It just doesn't matter.
All the ones on the AEW card, like, that seems the most likely.
Yeah.
Wow, we're going to have all this wrestling and not really anything like huge happen in terms of the world title picture.
TNA? Like,
this is all just setups. Like, King and Queen of the Ring are setting up for a title match. The Owen is setting up for a title match. Like, this weekend is the connector.
Except for Slamversary.
And TNA, where I think that Nemeth can win the championship, and then like Evil beats D'Angelo in NXT.
So there you go. That's where if you want your title changes, you're going to have to invest in a lot of wrestling time on Sunday.
Whatever Evil's new name is, I don't have it in front of me. Whatever his name is.
Naraku?
Naraku, that's it. Yeah. That's it. That I can see him win, and he's been underwhelming too. I was never a fan of him in New Japan, but he probably will win the championship because Tony D'Angelo, without the histrionics, the Italian over the top, he's just a dude, and they're just like, God, he's bland.
There's a lot of that in NXT, unfortunately.
Bland.
Yeah.
Just like, there's nothing to watch there.
Look at all the people they called up to the main roster, right? Like, two of them are going head-to-head in Trick versus Ricky Saints in Night of Champions, right? Like, so two of the guys that are exciting are on one of the, one of the cards the card for this weekend. Obafemi is on the card this weekend. Like, all the exciting people got called up to the main roster and left very little behind, unfortunately, in NXT. I guess what I'm looking forward to the most is, it's probably Ospreay versus Swerve. Like, that's just going to deliver. It's going to be fun. Obviously, you have the stakes attached to it. As much as I want to believe Sammy, and I want to make, Brian believe that Sammy's going to win, like...
Maybe.
I mean, this is here and in Saudi and Montreal are the two places where if Sammy's going to win, he's got to win in one of those two places.
Yes. So let's make the declarative statement. If Sami Zayn does not win the championship, and now, hey, when we first started the show, Night of Champions was skippable, okay? Mm-hmm. Where the three of us like, we'll go out and touch grass over the weekend. But if he does not win the championship now, he will not be the World Heavyweight Champion in WWE.
It has to happen. Completely agree. I guess you guys don't have the same emotional scars that I do because you talk about him winning the title in Saudi. The three of us sat next to each other in Milwaukee while watching the Rumble and Sammy challenged for the title in Saudi. And you know what? Sammy didn't win the title in Saudi. And I think we get much of the same this weekend. Like, it's just, they get you to believe and it's like, haha, we got you again.
That was Trick Williams, though, right? For it. Was that Trick Williams?
It was Drew. It was him and Drew.
Drew. Okay. Well, that's difficult. Very difficult. But the odds are better when it's just one of three, you see.
Steiner math we're doing here.
We're doing so.
But I guess the other thing that makes me skeptical that Sammy's going to walk out of there as the world champ is the fact that that match is going to be on ESPN to kick things off.
Oh, that's the first match?
I mean, that's what they said on Raw. I mean, maybe they change it, but They had it with Raw. They had, you know, the triple threat graphic, and they had, you know, first hour on ESPN. And yeah, so it made me think that, oh yeah, this, I mean, unless they decide to do it on ESPN to try to intrigue more people. But I, if you're going on ESPN, my guess is that Cody's going to be walking away the champ still.
Okay, so that lessens the odds then, of course. unless, and this is what Paul Heyman told Chris Van Vliet, like all the masters that WWE has to serve, right? Does ESPN need a title change? Like, that's the thing. Like, sure. Are they part of the creative process? It's like, hey, we'll put the first hour on, but could you give us a little something? If that would be something, then that would be amazing. That's the power of ESPN. If there is a title change of that magnitude on ESPN the first hour before the pay-per-view, because then after that, like, what's worth watching?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying. Like, what closes the show then if that's opening?
Wow, that'd be something.
Oba and Jay?
Jay versus Oba. Because, again, Brock's going to come out. And...
So your Night of Champions ends with a non-title match?
Gabe, you have tentacles.
There's two
ESPN.
Title matches on the card. I guess there's three. I thought there were only two. I forgot that Stratton versus Cargo was for the U.S. title.
Which is Gabe, very necessary.
Gabe, you have the inside track. Do you know if that match is commercial free?
I do not.
Because that would be a bitch if that's pitcher in pitcher. Oh, that better be clear for us to see. You say first hour. If that's the case, it better be nice and clear. No commercial, no in and out with that now. You better not do that.
By the way, 11 a.m. on ESPN Saturday Eastern, a countdown to Night of Champions on main ESPN.
I mean, outside again, of you're taking away wrong, the man. You're taking away the Jay Harris Sports Center
there. I guess so, yeah.
Maybe Jay Harris is hosting it. I don't know.
Yeah, you never know.
Just getting reassigned.
With the company, who knows, man? I mean, see, honest to God, I mean, listen, it is our wet dreams that we give turn on Sports Center that actually does wrestling coverage to this magnitude on ESPN. Yeah. It's like nothing I ever thought I would ever see. Do you know how many promoters have died that are in the grave right now, rolling around like the hot dog at the gas station? And they're looking at this thing and they're saying, oh, my God. All I've ever wanted was like a little bit of news, a little bit of acclaim. We had this big main event, Superdome, 40,000 people, blah, 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 and then no coverage. And now WWE is getting coverage right across the board. That is amazing for the business. It really is.
Yeah. Anything else that you're necessarily looking forward to? Again, the action's going to be great, but as far as AEW goes, Forbidden Door is kind of a letdown of a card.
Yeah. I feel like I said, let this be the last one. We move on. We'll get good matches. It's an AEW show. Like, Kenny versus Sabre will happen, but no, we don't need this concept.
But banger matches. What do we say all the time to lead up? It's gonna be there's gonna be some head turners in this on this card. I just don't like the concept anymore.
Right. But I mean the previous pay-per-view had so many stories going in with the banger matches. Now we're just getting banger matches thrown together because it's Forbidden Door.
Yeah, now we're just getting Dynamite. Or I guess in this case, Collision, because I feel that's usually where they throw guys and girls from other companies.
That's 100% right.
Yep. The Young Bucks versus El Sky versus Unbound, like, yeah, that's going to be awesome to watch. Like, I don't know why it's happening, but it's happening.
Starlight Kid, I can't say I'm familiar with her work, but I'm sure it'll be great with Tekla.
Read about it.
Yeah.
I think that's just going to, and I'm sure it's going to be fine. It's a strange unknown, right? Zack Sabre Jr. against Kenny Omega.
Yeah.
Call that up on YouTube. You'll find it.
Sure.
They've wrestled 100 times. You'll find it. Mm-hmm. So it's not so unforbidden because we've seen that match before. And it's going to be fine. It's going to be I'm sure this is like Kenny winding down and probably the last time that they'll face each other. It's not like Kenny's broken down, but just slowed down a little bit. But he's going to give his all. And it's going to be fine. But again, it's a match we've seen 100 times before.
And then on the other side, you have stuff like Cage and Cope versus the Dogs, Mox versus Bandido. They all work for AEW.
Yeah,
Forbidden Door part?
Yeah,
they work there.
Yeah,
yeah, it's just but again, it's still going to be fun on Sunday. Yeah. Plenty of those things to check out. Now we dive into the other top three stories in the world of professional wrestling. We call it the three count here on GKW. Brian, what's number one this week?
Well, earlier today, Gabe, you were busy with ESPN Radio, but Raw is making its way to Chicago in a couple of weeks, so Hood and I have the chance to catch up with the man of Mexico, the formerly known as El Grande Americano, Chad Gable. This is our conversation.
Huh?
Along with Brian Rowe, it's Jonathan Hood with you here on Good Karma Wrestling. We have a very special guest because this guest and other WWE superstars are going to be a very, very special market. A market very close to me. As a matter of fact, in the Windy City of Chicago, where I am right now, Brian.
A big one, a couple weeks away. You say it's an A-town, and that's why you get Monday Night Raw in a couple weeks.
It is an A-town, absolutely. it's going to be at Allstate Arena July 6th, Monday Night Raw. We turn now to WWE superstar Chad Gable with us here on Good Karma Wrestling. Chad, it's Jonathan and Brian. Thanks so much for being with us.
Jonathan, Brian, how you boys doing? Thank you for having me.
Oh, no, we need to know how you're doing. We're fine. But what's going on up here? How you feeling?
Well, boys, it has been just a wild month for me, as you can imagine, as you might have seen. I'm in good spirits. I feel like I'm in some of the best headspace I've ever been, you know, in wrestling. Things have been up and down for a long, long time. And right now I feel like we're in just this awesome spot where I'm just creatively fulfilled. Just everything's going well on the show. We've got some great stories going on, and coming off the mask versus mask match that I was just, I'm so proud of for so many reasons. And we're in a good spot, man. I'm happy.
You talk about that ride. If someone told you when the idea was originally pitched about El Grande Americano, it would result in this rise, what would your reaction have been back then?
Not a chance. You know, no way. I mean, that's the best thing. One of the best things, I think, about wrestling, right, is you just never know. You never know what it is that's going to land, what it is that the audience is going to latch onto, or why, really. And, you know, when you really think about the path that we had to go on to get to that point, it would have never happened if it weren't for so many different variables there. And someday everyone, I think, will become privy to like how many there actually were. There's a lot more than people even know about, but like as something as obvious as my injury, right, and me having to go away, that if I hadn't gotten injured, none of this would have ever taken the route that it did. And it's just magic, man. That's what wrestling is. That's part of what, you know, the story is not written from the beginning. The ending isn't determined from the beginning. It's like we can go a million different directions, and sometimes it creates magic.
Chad, amongst us wrestling fans, the debate continues on what is best for wrestling. Is it a great match or is it a great story? You're involved in both, and sure, and probably the best of the year so far. So sure. So even before El Grande Americano versus El Grande Americano, what was best for you, as having a great match or a great story?
Yeah, so my answer to that has probably changed over the years. You know, when I was growing up, it was always the match. It was always the technical wrestling. Give me, you know, some All Japan, some New Japan, and you know, some of the early indie guys from the 2000s and stuff. And I was like, that's what a match is. That's what wrestling is. But as you evolve and kind of grow older and like learn to appreciate other things, I realized that actually what spoke to me when I was a little kid was the story. You know, the first time I ever remember, you know, feeling emotional about wrestling was watching Macho Man and Ultimate Warrior at WrestleMania. And when Macho like hoisted Miss Elizabeth up on his shoulders and like, you see people in the crowd crying, and I was like 6 or 7 years old when I saw this, and I was crying. And a little kid like that doesn't have, I mean, I don't know, they don't process those kind of emotions, you know, like that, but it was doing something to me that I couldn't explain. And now I'm looking back and realizing that that is really the ultimate goal of what we do, is to make people feel a certain way. And it was never more obvious to me in my own career than that night at the mask versus mask match, because it's like I left that with so many people telling me that like they were just moved emotionally and like they have never been in such a long time. And to me, that was the highest compliment of it, of the whole thing. You know, the presentation was just that people, they felt something, man. They really, really felt something that night. So that was special. So I think you need both, man. You have to have both.
When did you realize that this was clicking? I told Hood a few weeks ago, I was literally in Mexico, and there's a Rey Mysterio mask, and there's an El Grande mask just on the side of the street. When did you realize it was clicking to the extent that it did?
I think for me, it was the night, if you recall, that we had started our story down there a little bit, and it was the night that we got into our first big brawl around the ring and around the arena a little bit. And that started clicking not only for, I think, the audience, but for me, because that was a moment that I was so in the moment, and it felt so, it was real to me. It was visceral. Like, I wanted to hurt this man so bad for taking what was mine, what I had created. And it was, it, that was life or death for me for those like 4 or 5 minutes or whatever it was. And when I walked away from that night, I'm like, we got something here. This is special, because I've never felt that way about something in the past yet. And it unlocked like this whole new realm and aspect of pro wrestling for me. I'm like, man, I can treat this the same exact way as I treated Greco-Roman wrestling, as I treated amateur wrestling. Like, visceral, man. Like, feel it. Like, go into it like a competition. Like, I'm gonna wreck this guy. And that was my mindset from that moment on out. And I think that's really what, like, both of our mindsets were. And that's what kind of lent itself to that emotion.
Go to WWE.com as Monday Night Raw will be in Chicago at the Allstate Arena on July 6th as Chad Gable's with us here on Good Karma Wrestling. We watched it on television, but Chad, only you could speak to this about the emotion of the Mexican fan. So just being in that environment, wrestling for AAA and those fans, tell us the difference between the Mexican fan and the traditional fan of the United States.
First of all, their passion is unmatched. All right. It's like you got little kids all the way up to grandmas and grandpas in there, and they are all 100% all in. I believe I had some little kids yelling stuff at me that I don't ever want to repeat. And probably the same thing for the grandmas and grandpas. But I'm telling you, man, like, we would arrive to the building, and I would walk in through lines of people, and it got me a little nervous. And you always hear stories of guys talking about the way it felt back in the 70s, you know, or the 80s, when guys were really truly hated in certain territories and stuff like that. And I got a taste of a little bit of that. Like, these people were, you know, they would get physical with me when I was walking into the building. I got pushed by people, and I was like, geez. And to me, that just added to the another layer, because we don't really see that very often, you know, on Monday Night Raw or on SmackDown. It was kind of the Wild West for a little bit in AAA for me. It was like, let's just do this, man, and let it take on its own life. And so, you know, just showing up to those buildings and even leaving, the things people, you know, you felt a little on edge all the time. And that's just a credit to them, because they, when I say them, the Mexican people and the crowd down there and the audience and just the culture that they've created, because they're so passionate about wrestling that, you know, whatever the story is, and when they get a good one like this, then they latch on and they make themselves a part of it in the best possible way. I have nothing but good things to say about them. It's like they prove to me that, you know, emotion is the clutch and the key to what we do. And I felt their emotion, I think, the same way they felt mine.
The crowd will be a little friendlier, a little over a month away. SummerSlam comes to Minneapolis, a town you're quite familiar with.
Hopefully.
Okay. We got out our fantasy pencils a week or so ago and booked what Chad Gable would look like at SummerSlam in Minneapolis. What are some of the ideas you have going around and say, that would be a lot of fun to do at SummerSlam?
You know what, man? I've been saying for a long time, it's time for me to get over this hump of being the guy that was a great tag team wrestler, and he's won tag team championships. And a big goal of mine has always been winning singles championships in the WWE and being the world champion. Like, if you're not striving for the highest goal, then I think you should reevaluate yourself and your mindset, because that's what we're all here to do. We're here to be the best. And this is a big chance, I think, for me to take a big step toward that. You know, I think coming off of that mask versus mask match, have so much momentum, you know, as a singles guy, that I could carry that right through the summer. And what better place to kind of, you know, chase down that, or at least begin to chase down that big final goal of mine, than to do it in my hometown, you know, at one of our biggest events. I think it's a big goal of mine.
Chad, you've been making amends around the locker room since you've returned to the States. Okay. So I think that's enough, Chad. I think you've done enough. I think you've done enough apologizing. I think that's
enough. Yeah.
I mean, so let's get back on track here. I will say one thing. If you want to apologize one more time, you can apologize to the fans. Would you like to do that? Would you like to make amends with us?
Jeez, what would you like me to apologize for? Because you got me at the right moment. I mean, I'm very vulnerable lately. You know, let me just say I'll apologize to you guys personally and to the entire audience for Shorty G. How about that?
Yeah.
All right, you know, I'll take that.
Can you accept? Will you at least accept? I know Maxine and them didn't, but you guys have to accept that one.
I mean, yeah. I do. Yeah.
We certainly do.
Thank you. That was my fault. That's on me.
Okay.
I think we need the big bot machine. You've done enough apologizing. It's time now.
Thanks, man.
In terms of those big bouts, what is the match? You mentioned stories with Macho and Warrior. What is one of those matches that sort of gave you that itch early on? You're like, oh, I want to do that one day.
Oh, man. It was more of a progression of like wrestlers that did it for me. You know, like early on, it was guys like Macho Man and these flashy guys. And I remember Lex Luger coming down from the chopper and slamming Yokozuna. And it was like these larger than life guys. But then, and I was like taken aback by the pageantry of it all. But then as I started to fall in love with like the technical aspects, and like I said, I was like a big tape trader, you know, like real wrestling geek when I was young. So like I was collecting tapes from Japan. And when my eyes got open to guys like Jushin Liger and Kobashi and Kawada and some of my favorites, and I saw them combine like athleticism with a different kind of emotion on their faces, like real gritty, real sports-like stuff that I was doing in amateur wrestling, where you would see guys have to really gut it out, you know, in these moments. And so I was just watching different performers as we go, like that would really, like they all spoke to me in different ways, just at seemingly like the right time in my life where they just resonated with me. And, you know, there was always just like guys like Kurt, obviously, were a huge inspiration, just opening the door for me and being so helpful and realizing that, hey, man, you don't have to take yourself so seriously all the time. I think that's a big gap that a lot of people fail to bridge sometimes. It's like you want to be taken so seriously and such a badass all the time. And it's like, hey, man, Kurt was an Olympic gold medalist, and look at the stuff he did. Like, we don't need to go down the list of the stuff he did that was hilarious and just awesome. So if he can do it and, you know, still be comfortable with, like, who he is and what he's done, like, who are you? Tell me anybody who can't do that then. You know, we should all be able to. So, yeah, there's a few guys.
Chad, lastly, and I appreciate your time. From me being from Chicago, and again, the WWE Raw show will be at the Allstate Arena in Rosemont on July 6th. As an AWA kid growing up watching Vern Gagne's wrestling from Minneapolis, I learned the best wrestling comes from the state of Minnesota. The best wrestlers come from the state of Minnesota. It's not even close.
You got it, man.
So you're Mount Rushmore of the best wrestlers out of Minnesota. We could be here all day with the list.
Dude, let me give you some off the top of my head. My, like, I'm a big 80s guy, too. So, yeah. Like, give me, like, Road Warriors as a tag team. Mm-hmm. Intimidation Factor. Give me Rick Rude just as a performer and a specimen. And give me Kurt Hennig, just as an absolute, like, polished, perfect wrestler, in my opinion.
Yeah. Those are the crew, man. And those AWA guys.
Yeah.
The best.
Yeah. You know, I always say, man, this happens in every aspect of life, like business or whatever, music, but like, there's these pockets of like special little time periods where it's just like a happening, right? Like things just, they developed in this little area. Like, I think it could happen with NXT in like 2015 and 2016, where it just got so cool for this like magic period. And like AWA had that for sure, where they were just developing and putting out some of these. It's like, where are you getting all these guys that are all just, every one of them is so good. It's like, it was just one of those magic pockets, man. I love when that happens.
As always, Chad, we appreciate it. We appreciate you making amends, and we look forward to Chicago.
Thank you, boys. Looking forward to it.
Chad Gable joining us here on GKW. Again, good on him for apologizing for, you know, the Shorty G era, even though I think we all know that's not on him.
Yes. Great conversation with him. I'd just like to know what interrogation room he was broadcasting from. Very odd background. I don't think we've ever seen anything quite like that. Somewhere in a basement, in a silo someplace. But great to hear from him. And now I'd like to see what WWE is going to do. I think the three of us know what should happen next after all this apology nonsense. But let's see if WWE pulls a trigger on him and so he could be that big bout machine for them.
There are two nights of SummerSlam. You should be able to find room for him. But hopefully that happens.
What, him versus Penta?
That works. Him versus Brock. I would take that.
Well, I think you know that's not happening, Brian. But I digress. We move on. What do we have at number two this week on the three count?
All right. This weekend, we will crown a king and a queen of the ring. On the king of the ring side, Jey Uso takes on Oba Femi. And on the women's side, Io Sky takes on Liv Morgan. So fantasy book, what matchups do you want to see come out of the king and queen of the ring finals?
Well, let's start with the queen of the ring, because there's literally only three options, because one of the champions is in the final, right? So we've got three options. Either we run this match back again, we get Liv versus Rhea, or we get Io versus Rhea, which we've seen like the iteration of these a lot. Yeah. I mean, unless I guess this injury that Rhea is dealing with ends up being more serious and she can't end up, you know, she can't make it to SummerSlam, but we've still got a little bit over a month for her to get healthy and hopefully be ready to go. It's really strange. I think the way they booked this Queen of the Ring to have Liv go all the way to the final and then just kind of creatively put yourself in the hole, you know, in this spot where, oh, we could only have a potential of three matches coming out of this thing. One of which is a rematch of what we're doing at Night of Champions.
Yeah, so I guess that if Io Sky wins, then she beat somebody. She beat the champion and Liv Morgan. So right. I think that works for me. But I feel like when I look at the women's division, guys, I feel like maybe a little bit thin as far as on the contender side. I mean, Lyra Valkyria now is the heel, so now maybe we get that matchup. But then, like, what kind of chemistry does the Io Sky and, like, Lyra Valkyria have? Like, that's the question. I feel like there's actually the NXT side of things on the women's side, probably a little bit more spicier than the actual main roster women as far as, like, singles contenders.
Yeah, that's the weird part in terms of, like, the corner they booked themselves into. Mm-hmm. We've talked a lot about the progression of Charlotte Flair over the last year or so and seeing more of her as a real person. She's been so separated from the title picture, I almost would have been okay with her getting the title opportunity. Like, have her beat Liv and then ultimately challenge one of them.
Yeah, I mean, we can cross Io versus Rhea off, right? So really, it's one of two. Because if Io wins, she's not going to challenge her friend. She's going to go, oh, I just beat Liv, I'll challenge her, and then both me and my friend can be champions on separate brands. She's not going to challenge Rhea.
I guess you could sort of write that way. I mean, I guess the other thing is if you have Liv win and you challenge champion versus champion and Rhea wins but only keeps her title.
I could see Liv and Io go around the loop over and over again. I think that's a really good matchup. Io Sky, the way she flies around the ring, Liv Morgan as a heel. I like that as a matchup. I can see that multiple times and never get tired of it. I think that those two can go. I'm just
that's good, because I think that's the direction we're heading, pal.
Yeah. Well, I'm just talking about just from the aesthetics of the match, but also I'm just talking about like how thin the roster is. I think that's a major problem that we can't come up with more contenders. You know, you get your share of B-Fab all the time on SmackDown and like that group with Jade Cargill. It's like there should be more coming. You know, Lola. You know. Is Lola Vice coming? Is some of the other NXT women coming? That would help.
JC Jane also in that boat. But like to your point, This tournament's supposed to be used as like an elevator. Like we saw what happened with Steve Austin. Like you push them to that next level, and their idea of elevation is to take one of their champions and put them in the final. Like it just doesn't
against
make sense.
Against a former world champion.
Right. Like these are two of the faces of the division in the final. Mm-hmm. Like that does nothing for anybody.
Yeah, because again, like I can't imagine they do when you've got two nights to fill,
right,
of SummerSlam. Like I don't think you want to take your two women's main championships and tie them up in one match. That doesn't make sense to me either. So I think it's Io versus Liv, and then I think they run it back at SummerSlam.
I can make a case for Io and Rhea, where it's like, hey, like, we're friends, we're tight, but let's see who's the best, and let's just go.
That's very WWE.
Yes. And that's the fans don't know who to cheer for because they're both incredibly over.
Yeah, just very few that actually are heels, that want to be heels. Everybody gets cheered. Everybody has a grand entrance. Everybody gets cheered. Everybody's a good guy.
Yay!
Like, I can't make that make sense, especially if EO wins. She, like, just beat Liv. Shouldn't the mindset be, I just beat you, so now I can beat you for your championship?
Yeah, I just beat you. I don't need to challenge you. I already know I'm better. Like,
no, that's not right.
It's WWE logic.
Yeah, I understand, but it's just like the queen of the ring is not the championship.
Correct.
Who's he waving at?
Someone at the bottom of the door saying goodbye.
Okay. Goodbye. We have a very well listened to broadcast here. Get out of there, whoever that is.
So on the men's side, I don't think we're getting it, but my dream fantasy booking would be Roman versus Oba. Mm-hmm. Like, Roman versus Oba sells itself. Main event, SummerSlam night 2. Oba going over, winning the world championship from, and I know Cody thinks he's the face of WWE. Sorry, pal, it's Roman.
Wow. Cody's friend of the program here. You're saying that. Wow. Roman hasn't been on this program. Hang on.
Yeah. Kind of tells you who might have,
oh, really?
You know, be a little bit higher in the hierarchy over,
really?
WWE.
Really? He's the face of WWE because he hasn't been on Good Karma Wrestling. Is that what you're saying? Yeah. Like you're one of the faces of the company if you haven't been on this show. That's nonsense. Nonsense. Cody Rhodes is the face of WWE because he's graced our presence several times here. Very good.
But
what you're asking for is possible.
Possible.
Is it? Sure it is.
I sure hope it is, but I just don't know how it is.
What would you say is more possible, Oba Roman or Jay Roman again with Jay as the heel?
I don't want to see that. So ultimately, it's not even about Roman. So you're just going to let Oba just linger. People want him to be the champion yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're just going to just allow him to just roam free until he takes on Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania? Come on, man.
I have stood by this. Oba is big enough where why not have him pull double duty?
Yep.
Why not have him pull the Bryan Danielson? Why not have and you wouldn't even have to be opening the show, closing the show. It would just be wrestling on night one and wrestling on night two. Like, I can see a world where Oba can beat Jay, and then you bring out Brock for all the shenanigans, and then Oba can retire him on, or even do it the other way around, where Oba versus Roman night one, and then you can retire Brock night two for the championship.
Great. I am on board with all of that.
Do it.
The Oba progression, even, like, his promo work on Monday, like, I don't know if it's just being in the same building as Paul Heyman more often, but, like, I was like, oh, look at that. There's a next level there on the mic right now. Like, he needs to be the champion. I feel like him and Roman is a WrestleMania main event, though, and they might just kick that can down the road to where if you have him and Gunther, then you put the title on him. Gunther doesn't really need the belt, and you find something else for Roman to do at SummerSlam.
So if it's not Oba, what is the matchup for Roman? Did you say Gunther?
No, I would say Oba, Gunther, and Roman. Oba, I don't know what you're doing in that.
Okay, spot. Well, then that's, I mean...
Well, if Oba doesn't win, Jay's challenging whoever wins the triple threat.
Right.
I don't think that's interesting.
It's not.
I do not. I have nothing. I'm not against Jey Uso like you are, Brian. It's just like I don't see. You had him as a singles. He had a short run of the championship. You brought him back with his brother Jimmy, and now all of a sudden he's that single star that we need. We need this again? Do we?
Yeah, WrestleMania rematch with Gunther and Jey Uso.
No, that's not. That doesn't work. I think we as wrestling fans always want something new and fresh. Oba is that person. Mm-hmm. So it's not, like, I understand that they got us by the short and curlies because they got all this programming, all these, all this television, but you know, I'm all for the Triple H slow boil to get to something, but that doesn't seem exciting to me. That doesn't seem like next level, like Oba winning the championship at SummerSlam.
Yeah. Again, I appreciate the slow burn, but every once in a while you get someone where you just gotta roll with them. And that's what Oba is. Like, again, you can do the slow burn with Trick, can do the slow burn with Javon Evans, can do the slow burn with some of these other stars that you've called up, Ethan Page from NXT. But Oba's different, man. Like, Oba stands out above everybody else. Let's get a championship on him and roll. Again, I think Roman versus Oba are fine. If you want to make it Cody versus Oba, I don't care who. Just get a championship around that damn man's waist. Like, have him win King of the Ring and move on to SummerSlam, because that dude deserves to be main eventing SummerSlam. Like, that's who needs to be in your main event. And if Brock interferes and Jay, like, this is opening up night one, Oba versus Brock, and it's going to be on ESPN.
Wow. By the way, Nitzel, with Raw coming to Chicago on the first Monday of July, is Milwaukee on that tour at all? SmackDown? No. I think you need to stand up a little bit more on this show and say something. This is ridiculous. You're right there. I'm just saying, like, not the weekend tour, like the wraparound Milwaukee into Chicago. Does WWE feel like Summerfest and Brewers baseball is hotter than WWE? Is that what it is? I'm starting to think
Brewers won't even be in town. Brewers are out of town on the 6th.
Here's what you get. They come back from Saudi, and then Monday night Atlantic City, a Raw and SmackDown this upcoming Monday. Double dipping because
the holiday weekend.
So then July 6th, Chicago, and then they'll go down the street to Oklahoma City for SmackDown.
Holy smokes. Those poor truck drivers. That's a haul. You're right there, Milwaukee.
Well, usually when they do Chicago, at least they'll like stick around Milwaukee will be SmackDown, then they'll go up to Green Bay for Raw.
Green Bay, Resch, little Resch Center. Or for me, Cress. I prefer Cress.
The Paycom Center in Oklahoma City. That's
crazy. So there's something I think you need to stand up and say something about this. I think it's a little bit too much where Milwaukee is just like, it's Duluth.
Nobody's coming here, man. Like, AEW hasn't been here in like 2 years. Like, usually at least we're good for something for WWE, but nah, they don't want to come up here. I don't know.
Here's what I need you to do, Brian. I need you to take you and me off the screen right now. And we need Gabe as a solo square to say something to wrestling companies about Milwaukee. Just take us off the screen. Go right ahead.
Look, it is a fantastic wrestling town. You know, I mean, WWE, like, they had interest in potentially doing the Royal Rumble at American Family Field once it gets winterized, which is happening, by the way, this winter. So 2027, 2028, 2029. Yeah, at the Royal Rumble up here. This is a fantastic wrestling town. There are wrestlers within your company that love wrestling in Milwaukee. Turner Ballroom is one of their favorite places to wrestle. I'm talking about KO. I'm talking about Sami Zayn. We're celebrating this week 30 years of Austin 316 says, I just whooped your ass. Guess where that happened? A Mecca right here in Milwaukee, birthplace of a legend. It could happen again. But guess what? In order for it to happen, you got to come to Milwaukee.
I can offer you July 31st SmackDown in Green Bay.
It's not the same. it's not the same.
Also, the SummerSlam logo is very AEW like.
Yeah, the purple in the background. Purple, yes.
I was very confused there.
So, Brian, we need you to send that out, and I need you to tag that to all the companies because this makes no sense.
So yeah, that's a lot of Northeast and Canada. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, we haven't had, I mean, we had a paper, last time we had like a PLE or a pay per view. Would have been, we had Fastlane leading into WrestleMania. I want to say that was 2017, whenever it was right after the Festival of Friendship, because Jericho came out and cost KO. We got to see Goldberg win the world championship going into Mania.
There you go. So now you had your platform. Now we got to send that out to people for them to know that Milwaukee actually exists on the map.
Springfield, Illinois, the night before Green Bay for a house show.
Springfield, Illinois?
Yeah.
Don't expect me to cover that.
July 30th. The house show. It's the WWE summer tour. You never know what will happen.
we can't even get a damn house show?
Don't make me go down there, Brian. I'm not going down there.
It's not that big. I'm sure it's fine.
Oh, my God.
I'm upset. What are we at number three, Brian?
All right. Contract news this week. FTR says they will be taking some time off to, you know, focus on themselves. There are rumors of WWE being interested in them. So social media asked the question saying, has anybody benefited more from the WWE to AEW move than FTR?
Oh, yeah.
Mercedes. John Moxley.
Ooh. Oh, okay. Mox is the face of a company. Like, I mean, Mox has always been the guy for AEW. Right? Like, he's won the most world championships. Something's going awry. Oh, Mox will take care of it. Oh, Mox has become the guy for AEW. And maybe he's never going to be looked at as the top guy, but he's their most reliable guy. He's not having to wear gas masks into arenas. He's gone from, and we talked about this last week, like John Moxley would kick the shit out of Dean Ambrose, right? Like the character transformation in itself, like, and look, FTR is a close second. They're not shaving each other's backs for kicks and giggles, in AEW.
Yeah.
But I think, I mean, Mox being the multi-time world champion that he is in AEW, like he would have never had those opportunities. Like he'd be probably multi-time intercontinental or US champion, but he knew what his value was and he cashed in by being able to go, no, I know what I want to do. I know who I am. And now he's a locker room leader. It seems like he's got a lot of creative control in the direction of the Death Riders and helping out now with Will Ospreay. Like I think that he is the biggest beneficiary of going from WWE to AEW.
That is true. I will say that is true. I remember when he never had social media, but I guess someone set it up for him to be able to promote that he's unleashed. And that was just the most awesome, cool thing. Like him, like in his Cincinnati, background with the cyclone fence and just kind of being unhinged and now being in AEW. Now he's been in two storylines that I have not liked in AEW. One is him as champion and now what he's dealing with right now. This whole thing with Will Ospreay is just ass backwards. I hate what's happening here. It makes no sense. But he's been front and center without taking time off. Even Jericho stepped away and then came back for a fresh coat of paint so he could just be called Jericho now. But Moxley is a constant on AEW TV. A close second for me is Mercedes Moné. Everybody needed to see Sasha Banks, right? Oh, got to get Sasha Banks back. Okay, well, how about better than Sasha Banks? How about someone that every time she's in the ring, she's giving you a 20 to 30 minute classic? Here's someone here that continues to give you quality in the ring. It doesn't matter if it's someone from overseas, it's someone in the company. I think Mercedes gives a lot, and then she comes and wins matches at the end. So I think that she's been an excellent wrestler for AEW. And then traveled the world, Brian. Traveled the world to be able to show what she can do in plier trade. And also has creative control. So I like that as a choice. Let's flashback to someone who could not wrestle in WWE for a while, and that's Bryan Danielson.
Yeah. Ooh.
I would also say benefited from leaving WWE.
So I think all of those in terms of Mox, Mercedes, Danielson, those were main eventers that then, face of the company. So yes, they took steps up. But to me, it's FTR because they went from shaving backs to actually being featured. And I think it's also Toni Storm, who was a forgotten, just sort of there, throw in women's division to face of the division and talk about creative, saying, hey, go make magic, which she did. So them, I think, benefit the most because they were just the most elevation of who they are.
I'll throw Swerve in there as someone that was just a guy with top dollar, right? That whole thing was just, it was fine. But Swerve being able to be on his own, be world heavyweight champion, which would never happen in WWE. No. He's never going to be WWE champion. Absolutely not. He's brought a swagger and a style to the ring that is perfect for the AEW brand. I think that his tenure, whether he's champion or not, he has really thrived in AEW.
Yeah,
you know what? The answer might be Swerve. Because he was never going to be a main event player in WWE. Like, Mox had already got there. Like, Mox was a world champ. Even FTR had won tag team gold on the main roster. Mercedes, obviously, as well. Like, Swerve was never going to be world champ in WWE. Never. Yeah, Swerve might be the right answer. Because, again, like, his feud, man, I still love that. I still think about the feud from time to time with him and Hangman. Like,
yeah, that yeah, edge wouldn't have been allowed in WWE.
No. No, not at all.
Yeah, it's worth. I think you just ended it there. I think it's because again, even as those other three elevated themselves, like within the roles that they had, it's probably because Swerve's going to close. Like Swerve and Ospreay are going to main event, right?
I think so.
He was never going to. I mean, he's main evented a bunch of pay per views for AEW. He never would have been in the main event.
So let's go to the one of the big topics of Stone Cold Steve Austin with Vince McMahon. First of all, it was a shock to all of us that Vince talked to Stone Cold Steve Austin on that Austin podcast. And one of the big topics on there was Cesaro, right? Why can't Cesaro get the brass ring? Well, communication, pal. He's a big, you know, that kind of thing. And Claudio, two-time ROH champion. I think that surprised me that they put the belt on him. Even though it's ROH, mm-hmm. they gave him the championship. We know he can go, but being part of the Death Riders and also being able to main event matches and pay-per-views on ROH, I bought them just because I'm like, well, let's see what that looks like. It was fantastic. He went to another level, a level that we knew that he could, but never got that opportunity in WWE. So I'll add him to the list as well.
Yeah, and I wonder with him if there is even a next step. Like, if the Death Riders ever end, which at this point they might not ever end, but if they did, like, is there something where he breaks off and it's him and Mox, like, going at it and things like that? Because, yeah, that ROH stuff was great. They had the Grand Slam match. That was him and Eddie. Like, that mm-hmm. was a big spot for Cesaro, which he wouldn't have gotten in WWE. And I just think there might be even more with him. Like, he's just so fun in the ring.
I mean, would you then, if we're talking ROH, like Athena being the forever champion in ROH, you know, getting away from, again, we've been frustrated with how she's booked on main television in AEW, but she is the forever champ in ROH. Like, does she deserve to be on that list?
Athena would beat Ember Moon's ass.
But how is ROH different than Ember Moon in NXT?
Winning more matches.
All right. But she was champion NXT? Yes.
I don't
not the
remember.
Forever champ.
No, not the forever champ.
Not the forever champ. That's true. And banger matches.
Yes.
Not good matches in NXT. But uh-huh. see, there's a difference, though. Like, in AEW, under the auspices of AEW and ROH, man, you could just go forever.
Right.
There's 30 minutes, and you could just show. You had the ability to wrestle classics. It's almost like no time limit on some of this stuff, right? And you could just show the whole arsenal. WWE, you're confined to a 10-15 minute match. Do your best, clean finish, in and out. There's a difference.
Ember Moon, one-time NXT Women's Champion. She won the vacant title in 2017 by defeating Kairi Sane, Nikki Cross, and Peyton Royce. So,
wow,
long WWE careers for all four of those.
Wow, that's something. Yeah. So I mean, I think unless I miss I like to circle back to Toni Storm, though, because what would Toni Storm be? First of all, they would never have this character.
Right.
This
is, no, they, no.
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 No. Even though it would be cool.
Yeah. One of the best one of the best original characters in the last 10 years in professional wrestling, right?
Yes. She would be what we see from like a Mee Chin, where it's like you'll get a great match once every few months, but otherwise they're just sort of there.
I feel bad for Joe Tess having to call a Mee Chin match every week. It's just like, you just know it's filler. Her and B-Fab. I love those sisters, man, but they're just there to just fill time.
But that's what Toni Storm would have been over there. Like, she wouldn't have had a character or anything like that.
I'll tell you what, though. Joe Tess sells the hell out of it, though.
Yeah.
Mee Chin, there she is. B-Fab. Yes, there they are. Tag Team Wrestling coming up next. Whatever the what the hell. That's just, again, we saw this match last week. We've seen it the last 3 weeks. I'll tell you right now. Right. Let me just tell
when
you.
When do we go to 2 hours?
I just want to know, are we watching B-Fab and Mee Chin again? I'll tell you what. Yeah, great tag team. They're featured next here on SmackDown. Oh. Just again. Toni Storm, somewhere like Bruce Pritchard, I'm sure, was kicking a garbage can down the hall when he saw her, the way she's blew up, because that's a Pritchard type of writing, like that whole thing. And that's all written by Tony Khan.
Yeah.
And
RJ City.
Yes, in RJ City. Yeah. Fantastic.
Oh. So good.
And then coming back as the original Tony Storm, right, pretending to be a rookie, like the whole twist there was fantastic.
She's healing up though. That's good. She'll come back as a force, I'm sure, in AEW whenever she's healed and ready to go.
No. Always will be a force. That is for certain. All right, Brian, what do we got this week in news and notes?
Well, we'll start talking about Tony Storm, the Owen final taking place this weekend, like we mentioned, with Mercedes and Maya World. Well, according to the Wrestling Observer, the original plan was for Tony Storm to win the Women's Owen Cup and then challenge Tekla for the world title. After her injury, plans then pivoted to Willow Nightingale to fill that same role. Willow also injured. So this is a third option, which we'll see this weekend.
I mean, pretty good when you can go to your third option for a main event at Wembley, and it's going to be Mercedes Moné.
Right.
Tells you how deep that women's roster is. All right, I guess call up Mercedes, see if she wants to come back. Like, that's good on them for having that kind of depth, man.
Yeah, I'm just not happy that it's Duke against Jackson State, though.
Yeah.
Like, I understand the story. I was gonna pull a trigger on a line. I know how you guys are, so I won't do it. I had it ready. Yeah, I know how sensitive you guys are, so I won't do it.
Oh boy.
No death in the Maya World family. Is she in the spot? Just be honest.
She beat her mentor, and now she's facing her idol.
Sympathy vote. That's why she's in the spot. I'm just saying, if she doesn't have the backstory, is she in this spot? And I'm saying no. I only saw her on Collision just a few times, and all of a sudden now she's a favorite? She's in the finals?
Now she's one win away from a world championship match?
Brother, I don't like that. But I'm sure that Mercedes will lead her through.
Butler almost won a national championship.
Yes. And in one of those in Houston, I left at halftime. That's a true story. Because I was covering, like, me and Jeff Dickerson, God, you know, rest in peace. We covered like 12 Final Fours in a row, right? For ESPN. And I said, Butler again? All right, let's take a look. If they don't score over 40 at half, we're leaving. They didn't, out to the streets of Houston.
Go. All right, well, so you got to believe.
They turned basketball back to the 1940s.
Uh-huh.
Horrendous basketball. Four corners. Gabe, there's 70,000 people in the stadium. You want to see that basketball? Are you out of your mind?
You got the big basket in there.
And the one they did almost win, I think the final score is 52 to 50.
Dude, we sat through it once. You had to look, Brian. I think one of us in New Orleans where they sit you up in the, you know, up with God at the top. It's the worst seats up there. You got to take a freight elevator to get up there. It's so high. I think one of them in New Orleans, but I think one of them was in Houston. We were just like, you know what? If they don't score 40, we're done. It's like, we're not watching this. We'll get to the bars early. I know we'll cover it from the bar stool. It's ridiculous.
Look, took another terrible shot. Yep, I can see that right from here.
Yeah, I'm done. Like, I was so pissed off at that terrible basketball.
There you go. 2011, they fell to UConn. The over-under, if it was at 100, it wouldn't have worked that well. They lost 53 to 41.
See?
That was the final.
See? Told you. Horrendous.
The Duke year, they lost 61 to 59.
That's 61-59.
But so, 59! You know. Come on, man.
I mean, so between the two, they hit 100.
It's better.
They hit 100 between the two appearances.
To the bar. That second year, done. Anything. Done. I forgot what city that was, but we were hammered afterwards. Just like, we're not watching that shitty basketball.
That was Houston. You're right. It was Indy the year prior.
See? Now. See that? Sharp as attack, Nigel. You see that? Sharp as attack. I know I left. We're not going to watch that nonsense.
All right. Elsewhere in news and notes, we talked about the big wrestling weekend, Forbidden Door, Night of Champions. Well, two more shows on Sunday. TNA Slammiversary, 3 o'clock Eastern. Mike Santana defends the TNA title against Nick Nemeth. The X Division title on the line in a 7-way match that will include Amazing Red making his return to Impact. So that's pretty cool. And then later Sunday night, 7 o'clock, going head-to-head with Forbidden Door, NXT Great American Bash. The NXT title on the line, Tony D'Angelo defends against Naraku, formerly known as Evil, and the women's title on the line, Lola Vice, defend against Kendall Gray.
They love Kendall Gray. They think that she's going to be a main roster person. They think she went from Evolve to NXT quickly.
Quick.
Meltzer says she's like the best women's wrestler ever.
He's hot for her. but nonetheless, I would just
but
say,
we digress.
But nonetheless, no, I mean, just it's something that shouldn't happen. We shouldn't have to deal with this as fans. I mean, it's great for the CW.
Yeah,
outside of LIV Golf to be able to have some kind of sporting event out there, you know, on a Sunday. So awesome, right? But
I hope LIV doesn't run into it. Is there any LIV Golf this weekend?
Oh, let's take a look here. Let's see if there's a.
I mean, it's you know, like LIV Golf. And LIV Golf, I don't think, is going to exist any pretty soon here. So
hold on. Let's see if there is there going to be an overlap. You're wondering, is there going to be like a Savannah Banana game that will run over into.
Well, if you go to the CW website, I'm looking at their program lineup on Sunday, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m., The Hill Sunday with Chris Strawalt. I don't know what that is. And then nothing else is listed until 7 p.m., which is the NXT Great American Bash.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because the network, the local stations get to take over and put whatever they want on.
Yeah. They've cleared it out. Yeah, there's like Savannah Banana or no like sporting event. It's just Great American Bash from 6 to 9.
Give them their Central platform.
6 to 9. So it's nice and clear for everyone to watch. There we go. 3 hours on the CW. And good for NXT. I didn't know they had enough talent to fill out 3 hours. But
It's a WWE promo, so you can have promos, you have commercials. They'll be fine.
Yeah, I guess so. I didn't know they had enough talent for that, but I guess so. That's going to be. And then Santana, I think, loses the title at TNA. Yes. Anniversary. Yeah. Yep.
Finally, news and notes, a new podcast coming soon, Off the Pedestal with Ashley Fleer. Ric Flair shared a picture of him and his daughter on the show. No word yet on when it will be launching.
Curious to see what the difference between Charlotte and Ashley Fleer are.
Yes. Also, why is she allowed to do this?
We kind of see it the way she's dressed, right? It's a different type of Ashley. We see more Ashley Fleer than Charlotte Flair these days, aren't we?
These days, yeah. I would agree. I would think so.
First guest, Dad. Second guest, Tiffany.
Ooh.
Should be. Talk it out.
Okay. I'd be into that.
Now, if she's not one of the top five guests early, I'm out. Not interested.
How many times does Rick cry on that first episode?
7.
Just consistently.
You're the greatest. Woo. I love you. Get out of here. And put the liquor down, for God's sakes. Do the interview sober.
All right. What did you boys have for matches of the week?
It was an overbooked mess, but I will put the Profits and the Vision on the list.
Yes.
It's overbooked at the end, but that's how you needed Joe Hendry. You needed this, that, you know.
But the lead up to it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. There's a tag team.
Classic tag team wrestling.
I love it. Oh, I love it. I love what I saw there, but you just needed to have Seth Rollins and Joe Hendry to help with the victory. And by the way, if you're Austin Theory, my God, man, you take the pinfall every night. Every night. So the question – now, someone in these – here's the thing.
Well, again, that was supposed to be Bronson Reed, but then Bronson got over, then Bronson got hurt. So they had to bring in somebody to eat the pinfalls.
It's actually believable when it happens to Austin Theory. The big guy shouldn't have to be looking up at the lights every night. You know, like when he comes back, I look forward to seeing what he's going to be. But Austin Theory, every night losing for the Vision. So tell me the difference between him under Vince and now, outside of Paul Heyman being in his corner, because he keeps losing, and it's the same guy.
They don't really let him use the microphone anymore. I guess that's the difference.
Just looks menacing. That's it. Yeah. And all the money's in Breaker and a guy that can't even move his arm right now.
Also, I feel like those tag titles won't be defended for at least another month and a half.
Oh, no.
So not even at SummerSlam, you say?
No.
I guess you need contenders
for that. I mean, it's yeah, exactly. That's the problem. You need contenders.
Here's the first. I'm going to put Jey Uso here. I really enjoyed him and Javon Evans from Friday.
Yeah,
I'm shocked. I'm shocked that Brian's coming around.
I wouldn't say that. I said they had a good match. Javon Evans, talk about elevation. He can carry anyone through a match.
Oh, there it is. Wow, the young pup.
That boy, Bouncy. Kerry J. Uso's. That's what you just said.
I think so, yeah. Holy, I mean, what's the difference? We've seen a lot of Jey Uso that wasn't that level. Javon was the difference.
The hate is unbelievable. It's something. God almighty.
He's got to always find a way just to like.
Hey, he's match the week. In very few matches get this prestigious honor.
Do you think Jimmy, here's a question we've never asked. Do you think Jimmy Uso is a better wrestler than Jey?
Ooh. I don't, but I think Jimmy's aware of that and doesn't try to do too much.
What are you?
Like, I think the same way we had Angelo Dawkins on here, we talked about being a single star. He's like, nah, I'm good. Like, I think Jimmy's in that boat. That's
right. Nah, I don't want to do that. What do you mean?
Like, oh, Bianca's hurt? Yeah, I'm out also. Sorry.
You don't want to be world champion? Nah, I'm good. Nah. What do you mean? No. That was strange.
Yeah. That was really strange. By the way, that was an interview we did a couple of years ago with Angelo. Yeah. Check it out on our YouTube page. Yeah. It was the strangest answer. Because again, like especially at that point, like there were rumors of them breaking up, so we felt like we had to ask about it, and they still haven't broken up, so they're still to get good on him for holding on this long, man, for keeping that thing, keeping that dream alive. Oh,
even Jim Neidhart thought.
Yeah. You better hope they don't defend those titles, because again, the more and more you see Montez Ford, the more you're like,
I know.
Why is this guy in a tag team?
Like that frog splash, like it's ridiculous.
Oh. I mean, it's exciting. Like, why? I don't understand why he can't get a singles run out of it. Because Dawkins says no. He just latched onto him. Like, no, you can't leave. Okay. Yes.
Osprey, I mean, they put it back to back last night, but the Osprey match and then the Swerve versus Garcia match, I mean, just give away good wrestling on free TV.
No, go ahead, Gabe. Why don't you just break down that Osprey match against his opponent? Give me the opponent. What's his name?
I mean, it was an Osprey. I can't.
El Fantasmo.
Fantasmo. That's who it was.
Elf.
Because he had the entire time was. You know, on commentary, like, oh, these guys know each other so well. I'm like, well, it's the first time I'm seeing on TV, so I'm good with it.
See the disconnect right there? Yeah. See that? You and I, as play-by-play guys, could never do it the way that it's done on AEW. We just couldn't do it that way. We'd have to have a backstory. But you couldn't just leave the audience in the dark. What do you mean they wrestled each other? I have never seen that match before.
Nope, but they kept referencing that they had wrestled each other a bunch before.
Okay. I also enjoyed Liv and Charlotte on Friday. I thought that was good.
Takeshita and Ricochet?
So the issue I guess I had with Liv and Charlotte, like, so Charlotte can barely move. I'm pretty sure she ended up wrestling through two commercial breaks.
Yeah, well, you know, she persevered.
Like, for some not cleared to wrestle, somehow putting on the longest match of the night on SmackDown.
I will say it was amusing on the tap out. I feel like no one saw her tap out and she had to pull Liv's hair like, hey, enough. Like, get off me now.
Yeah, that's going to be a problem in the back. Yeah. I'm sure it was. The perseverance. Look at that. Look at the perseverance. Charlotte. She's still in it. It's unbelievable. She taps out.
She can't walk, but she can wrestle for 20 minutes? Like, what's going on here?
Jeez.
I mean, she did a hell of a job selling it, like limping down to the ring. Like, hell of a job selling it, but then again, then that match has to be quick. Like, I don't know if we can do 20 minutes after we're gonna milk it that much.
Should have been 4 minutes.
Yeah,
should have been 4 minutes. And also, if I'm not mistaken, tell me I'm wrong, because you know I like to exaggerate around here every now and then. Did she not do her turn when she was coming out of the back? Did she do her Charlotte turn? I think she did it slowly.
But she did it like very slowly. Yes. She still did she still taunted. And she was selling the injury the entire time.
You did a great job
selling the injury.
You can't do the turn with a bad leg. Can't do that. He took me right out of the moment there. So you're still gonna do your shit, even though you're hurt.
Gotta get it in, man.
All right.
It's the WWE style. Gotta get your entrance moves in.
All right.
If you happen to miss any of this episode or want to go back and look at some of the other conversations we've had with people like Angelo Dawkins, take a look at the YouTube page, youtube.com/@goodkarmawrestling. Comment, subscribe, check it out. Again, maybe you missed our Chad Gable conversation from earlier today. Make sure you check that out as well. Big weekend. Everybody seemingly in action this weekend. We'll be back to talk about it all next week right here on GKW.